It is now time for the plant rant on WPCA Radio, brought to you by Baker Orchard. Good morning, Sandra.
Good morning. It's the first Friday of the month. So speaking of Baker Orchard, just a reminder, get out your calendars. The fourth weekend of September is the Baker Orchard Art Festival. I don't know if they're still taking artists, but you can look up on bakerorchard.com and apply and obviously come as a guest if not. And those dates this year fall on September 26th and 27th. Another announcement about Baker Orchard, they normally open Labor Day weekend. They will not be opening until after Labor Day weekend, which I think will wind up then being the 12th and 13th of September. It's going to be a short season. There is not a lot of apples. Last year we had more apples than we could deal with, and now this year it's a low apple crop. Speaking of apple, the Apple River Farm Tour took place in July, and it sounded like it was a success from the people that I spoke with who were featured on the tour. I talked with Clint at Cultivating the Commons and Brad and Val at Pike Hole Family Farm, and it sounds like everybody had a really great day. So do you do any of that stuff, Dave?
You mean have people come to my farm?
No, did you go on the tour?
Because I chase people off.
Yeah, you know, right? You're out there with your rifle.
That's right.
No trespassing signs.
No, I did not go.
Shoot now, ask questions later.
Yeah.
Is that the thing?
That's the Corbett farm.
Well, another thing that happened in July is our local Polk County Fair. And joining me today is Colleen Forster. And we are the kind of main two flower house queens at the Polk County Fair. So good morning, Colleen.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for the invite.
Well, you're welcome. So if we ever have our, you know, our act together, you know, well, don't count, hold your breath. But one of these years we need to do it when the books come out. Because I never get my entries in because I never know when the book comes out. And then by the time I think about it, the entry period has ended. So when does the book, people can mark, I always tell people to have a pen and paper and mark their calendars during my program. So when should they make a note for next year's books coming out to exhibit at the fair?
The books for the fair entries come out mid-May, so the second or third week in May, varies a little bit. And they will put hard copies of books in local towns, banks, and libraries.
Okay.
Those are the two places to look for them. They also have an online book, so you can go to their website or their Facebook page.
And
find a web link for the book.
Weren't they trying to get out of the book too? They're keeping the book. I like to hold something in my hands, and especially if you've ever seen that fair exhibit book. I mean, it's not just for the flower house.
It's
for everything, and there's a lot of details. So
yeah,
to be flipping back and forth to rules and whatever, and navigating online.
Yes, they did try going one year. They decided they were going to go all online without a book, and that was not successful. We have too many people still in our world that don't have computers. They don't do everything on devices, especially our elderly, and there's a lot of entries for like antiques and the quilting and all of that, and so it didn't work well. So now it's hybrid. I call it hybrid. You can do it either online or by paper. The deadline is always you have about a month to do your entries. So the book comes out in mid-May and the entries are due mid-June.
You know, it's interesting because if you're going to put your antiques in or something that you made, you know the quality of that item. Now, for us flower people,
we don't have a clue.
It's a challenge. I mean, so after this is the first year that I was there for the day that bring their entries in. And wow, what kind of a three-ring circus, but very good. Mm-hmm. So Colleen and her mom, Diane, got everything, the building all cleaned and prepped and added new fresh lights. And if you have never been into the flower house at the Polk County Fair, please stop in and visit. It is the most relaxing, comfortable place. We have fans. We have chairs. Come in, sit down, have a drink of water. The ambiance is great. I think at some point we need to figure out how to disconnect those fluorescent lights a little bit or put something up there, because we have such awesome fairy lights and twinkle lights, and it's such a comfortable space to be in.
Yeah, it is the feng shui of the fair campus. It's the go-to place if you need to sit down and unwind or relax. And I've talked about how I could get those big lights off before. So in the evening, it's just the twinkle.
Yeah, because when we hit the switch, everything goes off, right, including our little fancy lights.
Yeah, it is a really nice little place. It's a historic building. So hopefully they're getting it successfully put onto the Historical Society's
register.
So I do have a write-up in the building about the hanging on the wall, about the actual history of the building. But yeah, it's a really nice environment in there. So I encourage, you talked about you don't know what you're going to have to show that year.
Oh yes, thanks for circling back.
So the trick to that is when you look at the entries, you sign up for twice as many as you really want to bring. Because about half of what you sign up for, either it rained too much or didn't rain enough or it was too hot or the deer came or the slugs came or the rabbits came. So if you sign up for twice as many things as you really plan on bringing, you usually have about what you want to bring that are good entries.
And sometimes seasonally. Like I was looking at my hydrangea today when I was watering this morning.
Beautiful, huh?
And I was like, wow, this has the rule of thirds, because there's this thing with judging where you kind of want it partly, you know, closed, partially open, fully open. So there's this rule of thirds for this ideal flower specimen. And I was looking, but of course, the fair was 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So having the ideal hydrangea now doesn't help. And seasonally, yes, things are somewhat on a schedule, but it's not, depending upon rain and heat.
Oh, definitely the weather has a lot to do with it.
So now I'm always looking at my garden going, like, I have very, very large, extra large hosta, which is one of the categories. There's minis, small, medium, large, extra large. But I don't know that any of them look good enough, you know, because they're a sign of insect damage or maybe there's a spot.
So everyone says that, oh, I have all these, but I don't think they would be good enough to bring here. Bring them, because you never know. If you're having that same trouble with your garden, everyone else probably is too. If you're having trouble with the deer and the rabbits and the slugs in your hostas, just about everyone else that has hostas has the same problem. So you never know. You still might be the best one there. So you just take a chance and bring it in. Even if it doesn't place, it makes the building look beautiful, because without people's entries, the flower house would be boring.
And it is so pretty in there. The one picture that was on our Facebook post, I was sitting entry day at the counter, kind of where we check people in, and just looking straight, and it was... just because of the variety of plants, it was all very purple. It was very monochromatic, but it looked really,
it's gorgeous.
Really nice, because there was the liatris and the echinacea and some monarda, and it was very pretty.
Yeah, we worked really hard at updating the building. So, you know, a few years ago, we brightened up the green in the center gazebo.
With those posts.
Yeah, with the posts. And we each year we add a few more lights and a little more decoration so that we can add to the flowers that people bring in. And you brought up judging. There are rules of judging. We use the Dutch judging program. And you can look online for that if you want to really know details about judging. If you have questions, they can always reach out to me by email.
Okay. And, you know, so interesting, so, and I lose track of time, so, and the archives for the Plant Rant only hold now about the last 3 years, but I had a nationally accredited plant judge on, Bonnie Schvichtenberg, and she does the state fairs and is a nationally accredited judge. So if people want to look back into the archives and find that interview to learn more about judging, so because I wasn't really familiar, and that's one thing when you're volunteering in the flower house. By the way, if anyone's interested, we're looking for new blood. One of our popular people around here, a big supporter of WPCA, Betty Tomasek. This year has kind of stepped down. She did still come hang out with us, but she did a lot for the flower house, and now is just. You know, wanting to do less stuff. So we're always looking for new people. Betty's how I got roped into it years ago. And we're always looking for people. But anyway, when you're, I totally derailed. Oh, the judging.
Yes.
So people come into the flower house and they're like, well, how do they decide this? Why did this get it and this didn't? So this year, because I was there on entry day and then stayed for the judging, it was, and this woman was very much a verbal processor. So I got to pretty much hear her thought process and how she was deciding, and it was really interesting because mm-hmm. what you thought might be the best one might not. And some of it's like, how did the rules read, the description of what the entry was going to be? If you get your tag on wrong, like one of them that would have been the fourth place in your favorite five, they had the wrong tag on it. Well, mm-hmm. now you have the wrong tag, so that goes against you. So that one, so then the fifth best one wound up with
right.
fourth. And so mm-hmm. it was, and then that rule of thirds. And yep. you want to explain more about, like, and it's probably easier to picture it maybe like on the lilies.
Lilies is a really good example. So when you look at a lily, you want a nice straight up and down stalk. You want a third, a third, a third, which means the bottom third in full bloom and the middle third with tight buds that show color. So they're not really opening, but you can see the color. And then the top should be tight. They don't show any color yet. So that's your third, third, third. They use that for like anything that's a stalk, like your lilies and your gladiolas. They're the third, third, thirds. Leotris or the blazing star, same thing. One of the biggest things that I can say when you're doing cut flowers or plants or any of it, clean it up. Like when you're bringing it in for show, I know when it's in the garden and that, we don't really care if there's dirt on it or if there's dead leaves or there's dead flowers. But if you're going to bring it in to show, clean it up, take a few minutes. It'll make a big difference in judging.
Well, and I noticed also like some of the really nice house plants, if they weren't in a nice pot, and I look at, now I've been looking at my house mm-hmm. plants at home like, wow, this plant looks really great, but does the pot look cruddy? And I get it because... like my Monstera, I can't even move it, whether alone transplanted. Mm-hmm. I've tried to sink the pot it's in into a larger, beautiful ceramic pot, but I physically am not able mm-hmm. to lift it to even put it in the pretty pot. Of course, it means I wouldn't be able to probably haul it to the fair either. But I'm starting to look like my big Griffin begonia. You know, it's in a terracotta pot, but that pot's in a little bit of rough shape. So it's like, am I able to even... upgrade this big thing to move it, or could I clean up the pot and kind of yep. pretty it up? But you know, some things came in that looked really nice, but they were in a junky plastic pot, and it just, you know, well, or like that staghorn fern that was just kind of plopped into a hanging basket. Well, those should be mounted on a board or growing on, you know. So it was interesting.
Yeah.
And then the rules, like looking at the description, what was it, the three stems, like it was supposed to be the three flowers only, and there was some really beautiful flowers, but they left the leaves
right on. Some of them say, if they say blooms, three blooms, that's what it means, three blooms, not three stems. You don't want side shoots, you don't want second flowers on there, you want a single bloom. If it says stem, then you want to have a single stem, you don't want the offshoots. If it says spray, like for example with petunias, it'll say a spray, then you want to have the same thing, you want to have a spray of petunia has open flowers, flowers that are just starting to show color, and tight flowers on a spray, not half the plant, but one spray. It might even look like a stem to somebody.
So it's learning that language, yes. though, of like what can have a side bud, what shouldn't have a side right. bud, what can have leaves, what couldn't have leaves. And so it was such a great learning experience
yeah.
to witness the judging and hear the process. And you know, and sometimes if there was only a couple things, there still wasn't necessarily a first place. Like that extra large hosta leaf,
right.
it had a little bit of insect damage and one other spot. Well, it can't get first place because it wasn't a premier right. leaf, even though it was didn't have any other competition with right. it. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, she has the right as judge to decide if she gives any. Maybe there's a class where she didn't think any of them met the standard. She could not give any ribbon, or she can move them down. So a lot of times this year, especially, we had a lot of third and fourths or second, third, fourths without first.
Yeah, it was interesting. So there's like a grading scale. So like in school, well, how it used to be when we actually got grades, you know, it's an A is 90%, a mm-hmm. B is 80%, a C is 70, D is 60, and then you fail after right. that, right? So, and like, insect damage automatically bumps you down 10 points. Yep. You're automatically going from an A to a B or a first to a second with that thing. And it's not like, it's not her fault. Like you said, you're using that Dutch judging program.
Mm-hmm.
And that program is like, if there's an insect or there's a disease or there's this, each thing is worth so many points, and then right. you get a final number, and that determines.
And then if she has big classes like hostas is a very large, popular class. If she gets down to where she has, say, four of them that are pretty equal, then it comes down to showmanship. Like, how does it look in the bottle? Did you have a container that fits the leaf? Does it sit in it nice? Is the water clean? Is your leaf clean? Is it clean of dirt? Like, you can't use shiny, like,
the leaf shine,
that kind of stuff, but just water. Did you clean the dirt off? So a lot of them get down to showmanship, because then your points are basically equal, but then it goes to showmanship.
Well, and a reminder to folks out there, too. One thing is, people, it's best if you can bring your own vase. Like, we have a box of jars and things, but you're going to get what you get. And some people bring in a really beautiful jar, but in most of the show, there are certain categories where you get to get fancy, but it's supposed to be in a clean...
Clear.
Yes, thank you. Clear. I'm getting my letters mixed up today. It needs to be a clear bottle. So you might have brought in this really beautiful pink vase, but that's not allowed unless if you're in like the artistic section.
Unless you're doing flower arranging. That's very clearly stated in the rules. So we go back again to the book when you're going to start this whole process.
Get out a highlighter. Yes, pay attention, people.
Read the rules. It needs to be a clean, clear glass jar, vase, bottle, nothing in it. No little, people like to put those little clear rocks
right.
in there. No rocks, no sand, no tape. I mean, the florist tape, too. They frown on the tape. So just the clean glass. Because she wants to be, because she can't move your flowers. Like, she can't change how they're sitting in the jar. So she picks it up, and she's looking at it. She needs to be able to see through that so that she can see how healthy your stem looks.
Oh, interesting.
All that. Right.
Yeah, and then find a jar that's appropriate for your plant. And that's the thing, if you're relying on the flower house to provide you with the jar, it's a mismatch, and
yes.
you might not get the right thing to make your stem look the best. So start thinking about that. I mean, right, you've got, you know, a little less than a year now, and go to the thrift store, go to Acme Junk, go to garage sales, and look for some cool clear.
Save,
and there's some neat, cool
save the jars
bottles.
From your holidays. Like, olive jars have olives.
Oh,
really,
they've got
cool
a nice
jars.
Narrow stem,
yeah.
too.
You want to have tall and narrow for some of your tall stem flowers if you're doing gladiolas.
Holy smokes, please have a tall, heavy
yes.
bottle, because we
clear,
had the
clear
one.
Wine bottles are the best.
The one was so hard. I'm like, okay, I got to put this on the shelf really carefully, or this thing's going to topple
yeah.
over.
And
you try to put water in to weight it, but
right.
they, I mean. You know.
And well, and when she judges, like, if there were two glads that were almost equally, and one was in a tall jar that held it really well, and the other one was in a jar like you're talking about, the one in the right jar is going to take the first or the higher ribbon because it's displayed better.
Well, and some of those glads, I mean, it's not the glad's fault. They're like 2 or 3
they're
feet
heavy.
Tall, and they're heavy. So you just have to have something
yeah.
that's going to make them.
Yep, definitely.
Make them fit.
If you're going to do like a patio container, always keep in mind the thrill, fill, spill concept.
Yes.
You know, something tall, something that fills in the middle, and then something that spills over the front. That's kind of what she uses to judge.
Because there was that one really big one, and it looked nice, but you could see the soil.
Yes.
Even though it had a plant in there that was like 5 feet tall
yeah.
or something. I mean, it was plenty large, but it was bare at the bottom.
Yes.
It didn't have any fillers.
Exactly.
And so you really want
so
something
So she had
that's
a great
gonna...
thrill, but she needed a little more fill.
Yes.
Right? And then there's the deck containers. They aren't going to have tall, because if it's sitting on the deck, you want to be able to see over it, right? So you don't have that same...
Unless if you're me, because I really like to have... I use my plants as a privacy fence, and,
yeah, I know you
and
do.
It's great. My whole driveway is lined with big pots, and I've got a little outdoor area, and I've got a huge hydrangea. I've got 2 magnolias potted up. I've got some willows, and... add some hanging baskets, and I just make it so I've got my own little privacy. Hey.
Yes, yes.
But I'm not entering that.
The crazy plant lady.
Yeah. Who, me? No.
Yeah, no, it's a really fun experience, and you do learn a lot. And Sherry is our judge, and we try really hard. We kind of hire her like the end of this year for next year already. She's very willing to share information if you want to stay, because the flower house is different than all the other exhibits. We judge our flowers on the same day they come in. So when you come on Wednesday and you bring your flowers and drop them off, and we have a 6 p.m. deadline, not 7, 6, because after you all go home, we stay and judge. And this year we got home at 1 a.m.
Yes, we did.
Like, we judge everything.
And we got there before noon. So, like, do the math. That's a really long day. Right. And then we're out at the fair the entire 4 days after that. And it's a blast. It's a blast. But it's, and then people, you know, that's part of reading those rules, because it does say, you know, exemptions. And maybe that should be in bold, like, exemptions are the flower house. But it's because we, and it's to your advantage. I mean, if you bring in a daylily and it looks great today, it is not going to look the same tomorrow. So it's so the plants have the best opportunity if it's a really hot year and they all wilt overnight. Mm-hmm. But it also is the reason that we have a strict cutoff, because it, you know, we don't want to get all that one in the morning.
Yeah, this year was the first year I stayed really hard on the 6 p.m. because it just, we were just getting to be there so late. And the and we had a lot of flowers.
And our judge has to drive back to, like, Red Wing at that time. So, you know, all the way to Lake City.
Yeah, she goes to Lake City.
It's even farther. Mm-hmm.
So, yes, definitely read the rules. The other thing that people do forget to do a lot is things like any other perennial or any other annual not listed. So if there's a class for your flower, it has to go in the class. But if you have a really cool perennial or annual that isn't listed in a separate class, it can go into any other perennial or any other annual. And if you read your rules closely, it'll say at the end, must identify.
You need to have it labeled.
What the flower is on your tag, the fair tag. Because
it's
that
not in a labeled cat. I mean, if it's coneflower, it's all echinacea. If it's, you know, dianthus, it's all dianthus. But if it's another thing, so everyone's going to know it's a dianthus. Whereas in this category, any of the perennial, they want to see, oh, it's an echinops. It's a, what, you know.
Same with your hybrid coneflower. You have to name the variety.
Yeah, that's a separate, name the cultivar.
Right. So you always have to make sure you check your rules.
A lot of details.
Every year they get really frustrated. Well, it didn't say that. Well, it did say that. Must identify. Oh, well, I didn't know what that meant.
Label the plant. I don't know. How do you?
Yeah, I don't know.
And then like, how do you tweak it? And then I'm sitting here thinking, it'd be nice if the book came out like in the winter. Because by the middle of May, if you're a gardener, you're already running around like a maniac and you're busy and you're trying to do all your stuff.
Well,
and then now you're supposed to sit down and read this book. Now, if it was in the middle of January, get out your pen and your highlighter and start fantasizing about the summer.
I have a solution for that. Keep your book from the year before.
Because not much changes.
Because not a lot changes. Okay. There'll be small changes, but as far as rules go, there's not usually major changes. The flower house, about every 2 to 3 years, I try to add something new.
Yeah,
right?
Okay. I'll do it when the archive posts. I'll post the bottle cap garden.
Yes,
photo.
I'm gonna do that as a new entry this year. Bottle cap gardens is gonna be our new entry this year. It's gonna be so cool.
I'll put pictures on the Facebook.
There will
post.
Be rules about it though. It'll say like a maximum size of bottle cap, because I mean, you know, some bottle caps are huge, right? This is supposed to be mini, so it'll have some rules that you have to read.
And I don't know though that we're gonna be able to have the must be planted for 90 days rule.
No,
with
that
the miniature
part.
Bottle cap, because you'd have a lot.
You'd have to keep replanting it. But yeah, I always try to look for something new. And this year it's going to be that. It seems that people love mini things. They like the mini My Five Favorites. That's a real fun one,
too. That My Five Favorites is great.
Yeah, and with that Five Favorites, people ask me, oh, well, I don't have a box like that. The box and bottles for My Five Favorites, both the regular size and the mini, are provided. All you do is bring the flowers. And then it's an artistic design class. So you put them in there the way you want the judge to see them, how you want her, how it should appear.
Yes,
for
whether
her.
It's staggered heights.
Right.
Or
and then she
combos.
Looks at the quality of your flower, but she's not judging the flower based on like a single class. She's judging the whole box as to how artistic does it look. How balanced is it? Color coordination, size, like one person had a hydrangea that was gigantic, like flopped over all the rest of the flowers, right? So the hydrangea would have been great in a hydrangea class, but probably not in the My Five Favorites. So it's a very popular class. It's fun. It's an easy beginner class because you don't have to have a lot. You don't have to bring a lot. You pick your five favorite flowers and you put them in the jars when you get there.
And the mini ones are what I love, the small ones. But I love, like, in the spring, I have little beautiful tiny vases, and I always do little mini bouquets with when my woodlands very first come up. And I just think they're great. So, yeah, those little mini bottles.
really, if you look at that book, we have a way to put just about every flower you could have into the fair.
Especially with the any other category being
with the any others, yes. So, you know, houseplants, cacti, succulent, fairy gardens, cut flowers, flower arranging, the table settings. We even do a little bit of table settings with...
The table settings are cool.
So there really is something for everyone.
But there again, with the rules, and some of that, I looked back in the book and it's not...
clear.
Some of it's super clear, but you have to think of it in the terms of you're actually like serving someone, you're going to serve something. So the one I thought was the best... but it had a huge arrangement on the plate. Mm-hmm. Well, where's that arrangement going to go, and how are you going to eat your food with this giant thing? Right. So it should just be an accent. And she seemed to really think keeping the color theme was important. And then everything needs to fit on the tray. And it has to be set up like you'd be serving
a
meal.
Yep.
And they're so fun. And then the baskets that mix like the fruits, the vegetables, the flowers.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite new entries. That would be the flowers and gardening vegetables together in an arrangement.
Garden medley. Is that
the garden medley. We get some really cool, fun ones on that.
And it's just fun to watch people. So entry day, people come, and some people came with just buckets of their stems and then are like, oh, do I want this one or this one? It wasn't like they picked the perfect one at home. They grabbed some, came, and then
We have tables set out front, two big long tables and everything you need, basically. And like Sandy said, there's random jars there, but we're not meant to supply your jar. You're meant to bring your stuff or your jars. So we keep a few there for beginners, and sometimes a flower doesn't fit in your jar when you get there. So we do have a few, but we don't keep like a stock for everyone.
You know, it was fun to watch. So our judge starts out in the part of the building that's attached to the flower house. And the kids are coming in and entering theirs.
Oh, yeah, the 4-H.
And she meets with every kid. So whereas our stuff gets judged after, the kids come through and she gives them great feedback. Like one of my friend's son, well, Clint from Cultivating the Commons, one of his kiddos was there and she went through and then kind of re-instructed him on how to organize that, my favorite five. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then he went back out to the table. And it's great because she's teaching them.
Right.
And then
she's an excellent teacher.
And hopefully see grooming them so that these kiddos will want to keep doing this. And then eventually they'll be setting up in the flower house directly. The 4-H stuff does get displayed.
Right. We moved them from the front entry. It used to be in the secretary's office. And they'd set them out there. And then the wind would come through and tip everything over. And nobody set it up. And I'm like, So we moved the juniors in with us a few years ago. And it was a really nice thing to do.
Because and people love it.
They love to walk through and see everything. And that was the idea. So several years ago, Betty and I went and met with the people that do the actual 4-H junior stuff. And we changed their whole entries to match the open class. So that when they're doing their junior work, they're learning how to move into the open class.
That's so wise. Yeah. And that makes it great. Yeah, and here's a loophole. Enter, if you're old enough, enter your stuff into the senior class, because then there's way less competition, man.
It's our give me class. Like, we love seniors. Senior citizens. In fact, we would love to see more of them come through. We're down from what we used to be. Dottie, who used to be the activities director at Good Sam.
Oh, yeah, Samaritan. Yeah.
She used to enter every one of the residents. They would get to go out to the gardens and pick the flowers and everything, and she would put all those entries in, and then they'd have a day where they brought all their
residents. That must have been amazing.
It was absolutely amazing. And now Dottie retired, and they don't do it anymore, and we really miss them. So, yeah, seniors, bring your stuff, even if it's one flower. We would love to see it there.
That's so fun.
You're going to get a ribbon, I guarantee it.
Yeah, pretty much, right?
If you're senior, you're going to get a ribbon. You'll get something for your efforts.
And our building is accessible with the exception of the one day when they do the princess's tea or something next door. But otherwise,
that's
a short
Sunday
period
afternoon.
Of time late on Sunday. Otherwise, we are accessible. There is
wheelchair
a ramp
accessibility.
To go through the building.
Yep. Definitely.
And come on in and come see us and sit down and
so again, mid-May, start looking for messages. Facebook page puts a big one out that
and
says, the books are out and the
and
website.
We have a group, Flower House Fun, if anybody wants
flower,
to.
Yes.
You have to join it. I was trying to share. What was I trying to do? I don't know. It doesn't matter. So, yes, you have to be. Yep.
It's called Flower House Fun. It's a Facebook page.
And it's for our little flower house. We're always looking for other volunteers,
definitely,
too. And, well, yeah, Colleen, thank you so much
for this again right before.
Yes,
when's
try.
Coming out?
Well, maybe we, like the May.
Yeah,
the May
that
show.
May show would be perfect because then we would get people to start thinking about, hey, the books are going to be coming out in a couple, 3 weeks. And you get it. And you have till midnight on the day that the entries are due. Like, say it's June 15th. You have till midnight to get it postmarked.
Oh, postmarked.
So you have plenty of time to get it in. You have till midnight that last day to get it in.
Speaking of time, once again, we've run out. Baker Orchard, thank you for being proud underwriter of Plant Rant. And next month will be Lisa Laikwe, the Creekside Crone. And that'll be September. All right. Till then.